My wife, my beautiful wife, asked could she share something. And if she wants to share something, doesn't she look... Oh, my. I'm like the blessed, most blessed man in the world. Hallelujah.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Okay, so I have a quick question. I want to ask everybody in here if any of you, by the end of December 31st, will have a birthday this year. You all should be raising your hands. I mean, everybody had a birthday this year, right? Okay, so now I want to tell you, since by that time your birthdays will be past, let's remember it's Jesus' birthday on Christmas. And something that I would tell my kids, if they remember, when they were little, and I've actually said it to some of the grandkids, maybe I've said it to you all, you have your birthday, but when it's Christmas, it's not all about you. It's Jesus' birthday. So I want to tell them all again, and all of you, if you want to accept it and receive it, but I really want my family to know that Christmas is not about us or you. It's about Jesus. And if you don't get 4, 5, 6, 7, 20 gifts at Christmas, let's remember it's Jesus' birthday, not ours. So it's not about us getting a bunch of gifts. But if you get one, it's like that old saying is, if you got it, let's not waste it if you got it. You know, we'd love to lavish our love and show our love and appreciation to our kids. And they're just all so wonderful. And I wanted to share just a couple little cute examples of some times that I've had with them. Marisol, I'm going to use you today. I'm going to share a couple of things that I've learned from her when she was little. And then I'm going to share just something out of this word. But I remember when she was little, me and Bronk, we were going into the in town for something, and we happened to go by the Christian bookstore, and we didn't know that Santa Claus was going to be there. And it was Christmas time, and everything was decorated. And she's only about 4 years old, and we're going up the sidewalk. We happened to walk by the door of the Christian bookstore, and she turned and she looked at me with her big brown eyes, and she went, "Nana, I think I just saw the for real Santa Claus." And I thought that was the most precious thing to me as a Nana, a grandma. That was so precious, and I'll never forget that moment, her saying that, "Nana," and she was serious. She thought that was the for real Santa Claus. And I think of that, and then I think about, let's give them the for real Jesus. And the other thing was, one year, she was little, probably about 3. I'm trying to explain to her outside around our manger scene that we set up at night. It illuminates and sets up, and she's about as tall as the tallest wise man that's out there. And it was so cute because she looked like one of the characters in the scene. And she's looking around, and I've got pictures of them all at that age doing that, but she's looking at him, and she's wanting to know about Jesus and Joseph. And I said, "Well, this is baby Jesus, and he's God. And this is the Mother Mary," and explaining all the characters. And I said, "And this is Joseph, his father." But I caught myself, and I said, "But he's not the real father. He was his father on earth. His real father is God." And I said, "Jesus is God, and this..." She went, "Nana, you mean he's his own father?" And I thought, "God, how do I explain that?" And to this day, I probably still can't explain the Trinity like it needs to be explained. But it made me think, God, Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, thank God, right? So anyway, I wanted to share those cute little examples to you. And main reason why I got up here is I want to read this letter, short letter. A greeting card from Donna Roberson. And I love to read her cards. They minister and they bless so much. And it says, "Dear Bronk and Candy, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The birth of our amazing Lord is to be celebrated. Amen. The birth of Jesus should mean much, much more than presents under a Christmas tree. The real celebration is that he lived and died so we can live through all eternity. That is the greatest gift of all. And Luke 2:10 and 11 says, "The angel of the Lord said, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice how the scripture says, great joy, which shall be to all people. We must let go of everything that it hinders us and pray for the lost and the hurting so they can also experience the great joy of salvation. God bless you. May the love and peace of the joy of the Lord touch your heart this Christmas. And you know, the Lord, he's already given us this great joy. And it's like that song we sing about, I feast at the table of the Lord. It's not like he can just pour his joy out on us. We have to go and get the joy. We have to get in his presence. As Pastor has preached from day one, spend time with Jesus. And if you want that joy and that peace, and you don't want fear, but you want these gifts that God has already given, we have to go and take it from him and receive what he's given to us. So I bless you today, and I pray that you will really hear that it's not our birthday, it's Jesus' birthday. And let's celebrate him, and I love you all.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for this woman that God has given me. She's this way at home. She's this way at always. She loves the Lord, walks with the Lord, and I can't tell you how much I love her, more than words could say. If I start talking too much, I'll start crying and won't be able to go into the message. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Turn with me this morning to 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 30. Have you come to your Ziklag? We're going to talk about a particular time in which is familiar to many, the story of David that was not yet the king but was fleeing from Saul. And this is a familiar portion of scripture in which we normally talk about those that tarried at the stuff. And we're not really going to get into that this morning, but look at something else that I think is very, very important for all of us as New Testament believers, that we'll find some identification in some of the things that David went through that particular episode in his life. Now, let me just lay some groundwork for just a moment. David is fleeing from Saul. He's not yet been crowned king. And he's in a place where he knows God's already spoke to him that he's going to one day be king. And yet he is not in a position where anything looks like he will rule. It looks like everything is destitute around him. He's fleeing for his life, and he absolutely comes to a place of desperation in which Saul, the reigning king, the first king of Israel, was pursuing him and trying to take his life on every occasion. And David came to a place of exasperation. He thought, there's nothing else for me to do but turn back to what was an incredible decision to go to where the Philistines were at and ask, appeal for their help. And this is David, the one that was the giant slayer that had killed the Philistine many, many years before. But he comes to an epiphany in his life. He comes to, it must have been something that God for a season directed him. And as he's fleeing from Saul and trying to find, he's got 600 men that have joined themselves to him. And we're going to pick this up in verse 1 of chapter 30, and then we're going to make some observations as we go along here and use some other scripture as well, of course. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that there were that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives that were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the, of course, previous wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. All his men then began to speak of, they were so distressed that their wives and children had been taken away. David actually and his men had gone to offer, unusually enough, to offer their sword to the king of the ones that were going to fight against Saul. And we find that as he goes to them and he offers his sword to the Philistines, that while he's there, and they say to him, no, we can't. You know, the king says, okay, we'll trust you. His men, his captains said, no, we can't trust him. Remember, this is David, the giant slayer. And so they sent him home. But while he's gone, we find that where he was at, Ziklag, that had been invaded by the Amalekites, and they had taken, as we just read, all the women and children. And David was greatly distressed, it says in verse 6, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now let's talk about, give you some history here. Just kind of, this is not so spiritual, but to kind of give you some biblical history here to kind of give you an understanding. The story of David and Achish was the king of the Philistines. Now let me give you some scripture on this. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, you can or you don't have to turn there, but just listen. David said in his heart, as I said earlier, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me, in other words, give up trying to catch me, to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with his 600 men that were with him to Achish, the son of Maanoch, king of Gath. King of Gath. Now, let's just talk for just a moment more history. Gath, he was the king of Gath, or that was the imperial city. I don't know, does Gath ring a bell with any of you? 1 Samuel 17:4 says this, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in his span. So here's amazing. First Samuel 27:3, and David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David, his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the Carmelite, Nabal's wife. So we understand that. So he went with them. So David, here's the amazing part. David actually was living for a while in the very town where the giant was from that he killed. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God amazing how that he mocks the devil? David goes back, and he's actually there for a while in this imperial city. And in 1 Samuel 27:4, it says, "And it was told of Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more again for him. And David said to Achish," this king of the Philistines, he says, "If I have found grace in thy eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" In other words, give me, okay, I'm here with you, but give me a place other than here at Gath. And then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertained unto the kings of Judah unto this day. It's talking about the history of how that Judah has always recognized that as a place because David dwelt there for a while. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months, 16 months he was there with them. Now let's make some observations according to the mind of Christ and to the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? All right. One, Ziklag was David's habitation, his place of safety from Saul, his dwelling place, or his, let's say, secret place. Can you say it was his secret place? David was fleeing for his life, and he does something unusual, as we said. He turns back to the Philistines, and yet he stayed with them for a while, and then he received another city. He said, "This is yours. You can stay there." It was his habitation or his secret place for him to be able to feel safe away from Saul and away from his attack. And so the Amalekites, when they came, and there was that's another country, another group, when they came while David was gone, you know, and doing what he was supposed to do, what he thought he was supposed to do, and they stole away the children, they stole away the family, they came into the secret place. They came into the place where David's habitation was at and where David's expectation was, "I can dwell here in a safe place during this time." And so the enemy comes in and the Amalekites attack David's secret place. Now here's the point. Satan will try to attack your hiding place or your secret place. Do you hear that? He wants to attack your prayer closet. That's what he wants. He's not after you as much as he's after what's in you, because you're revivalists. Come on, revivalists. Amen. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't stop praying the mysteries. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that we are a church that believes in praying in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. We got people coming in, new people coming in that are hungry. I think there's a few this morning that want to be filled. And I've already got someone tell me that this morning, that someone wants to be filled at the end of this service. But the enemy will come in and he will do his best to attack your prayer closet. It may not be with a sense of emotional difficulty. It can be that. It certainly can be that. But if he can nickel and dime you away from your prayer closet, he has a plan. He has a plan to invade your secret place. He has a plan to, someone that's a father in my life has said this before, and I can't coin it just like he says it, but he said, who is the devil in your life? And it's not, and it may not have been that blatant, but who is it that is stopped or had some persuasion over your life to get out of your prayer closet for today? And what about tomorrow? What about false responsibilities? What about, you know, we around here, we don't do a whole lot. People sometimes come here and they say, do you have a youth program? Do you have, we don't have a whole lot. What we have is this. Our message is plain and simple. It's very vanilla. It's very ABC 1, 2, 3. We're going into God as far as we possibly can to receive an outpouring. With that kind of mandate, with that kind of desire, with that kind of direction from the Holy Spirit, which we've all received, then we have to understand this, that the subtleties that come against our life, that says, okay, I can give permission. It's all right, maybe for a day or two, but for those that are called revivalists, listen, we're not having Sunday night prayer around here, but I'm expecting you to be praying. I'm expecting you to be going into God. The Amalekites came down, and David shows up, and to his surprise, everything that was precious to him had been stolen. Understand this, that the enemy's desire is to take away your secret place if he can. Don't let him. Satan will try to attack your hiding place or your secret place, which is, I said, your prayer closet. What he wants is your prayer life. What he wants is intimacy, your intimacy with the Father. Psalms 27 verse 5 says this. You can turn there if you don't have to. Just mark these down or listen. For in the time of trouble, this just some scriptures to bring out that secret place, that place of habitation that is so important for us to receive this outpouring. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me. God will hide me in his pavilion. The secret of his tabernacle, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. God has a place for every one of you. I don't know what he's asked of you, but he's asked each one of you to give a portion of your life to prayer. He's asked you to come into a secret place. In that secret place, he'll hide you. But the enemy's always trying to make advancements into that place. Psalms 31 verse 20 says this, thou shalt hide them, that's us, in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. How many of you want to be in that place where you're underneath that covering? Psalms 91 verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Come on, prayer center. Are we going to go into God, or are we going to go into God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, point, if you give points, I don't know so much. I don't necessarily teach with points so much, but if I could, I would say point two is that Ziklag was where David kept his prized possessions, things of most value, his wife and family. The things that are of most value to us are our families, but more importantly, this fellowship that we have with Abba, staying in the place of prayer. Jesus said this, again, the kingdom of God, or in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, he says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Hallelujah. I'm imploring you, sell everything. Not physically, but your heart. Sell out. We're in the crux of this. we're in the place where this is about to take place, and the enemy is doing everything he possibly can to stop it. But I'm telling you, it has already started in this nation. There is a revival that's taking place. Hallelujah. I was watching a short video yesterday, and it was sent to me. Somebody sent it to me, and it was this man that just, he was up, and some of you may have seen it. I don't even know who he was. He looked like a gangster. He was all tatted up, had the teardrop. He had all kinds of, you know, on his face, and he was standing, and he was proclaiming. He goes, "I don't even know why I'm here. I should have been dead. I'm not worthy to be here, but I'm here because of Jesus Christ." And he says, "I'm telling you, something has started across our nation." He said, "You can't go to a street corner where Jesus Christ is not being talked about." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's here. It's here. We can't miss our appointment. Glory to God. Worship you, Jesus. Sell all. Sell out. Sell out. Whatever sin or weight, doesn't even have to be a sin, but whatever it is, continue to give it unto the Lord Jesus. Our intimacy is the most important pearl that we have. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for steal, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. Number three, Ziklag was attacked unexpectedly. The enemy likes to come at unexpected times to cause you to question God. It's like, well, wait a minute. 1 Peter 5 says this, be sober, 8-10, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, can you say grace? Grace. The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody needs to say amen. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David was so greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of the people, it says, were grieved, and every man and his sons and his daughters, and David. This is, listen to this, maybe this is the crux of the whole thing. David encouraged himself. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. For David's loyal followers were ready to stone him, 600 men. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Could you say David encouraged himself? Himself. David encouraged himself. David encouraged himself. How did he encourage himself in the Lord? Did he begin to sing one of the psalms that he had written? Possibly. Recount it? I don't know. But somehow he began to encourage himself. Notice that it doesn't. And here's important out of that verse I just read, because you may not be there reading it with me, but notice that it does not say, listen to this, it does not say that God came and encouraged him. What? It says David encouraged himself. It doesn't say that God encouraged him. Now, God did encourage him because David encouraged him. David didn't wait on God. There's times in your life that God's already there and you can't wait on him. You can't go through a downward spiral waiting on God, saying, God, where are you? You have to step up and say, I'm going to encourage myself. Hallelujah. That's just good preaching. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There may be times in your life where you feel like, where's God? How many's ever felt that? Okay. And yet he's always there. He's always there. This is where you must, excuse me, please. This is where you must initiate the authority that has been given to you in Christ. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents." Come on. "And scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing," can you say nothing?
"Nothing,
nothing shall by any means hurt you." The word power is, there's two words for power in the New Testament. One is dunamis power. One is this one, exousia. And this means this, and there's a whole lot more to this than just this. I mean, it's expanded. I didn't even go into all the different ones. But Thayer's just had this simple, and it's so good. Jesus said, again, I'll read. He says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you or hurt you." The word power here is the word exousia. And you know what it means? It means the power of choice. I give unto you the power of choice. Thayer says, "A power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases. The liberty I give unto you, the liberty to do as one pleases. I didn't even go to the Strong's here. I could have given more. But this is what David did. He took that liberty, even though he was prior to Christ, but this is a truth in Christ. He didn't wait and say, "I'm going to wait here. I'm going to sit here and see if I can get God to encourage me." He stepped up and said, "Wait a minute. What has the Lord said in the past? What can I remember that the Lord has told me in the past to get me past this moment?" Nobody, 600 men, they weren't encouraging him. They were ready to kill him. And David could have said, I need to go fast and pray. It wasn't time to go fast and pray. It was a time to take the authority and step up and say, "This is a time where I have to encourage myself." It was an exousia time in the Old Testament, in that sense of the word, that he said, "I'll take the liberty that has been given to me by God. I'll encourage myself." It's a power of choice. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has given you and I the power of choice to rule over the devil. Hallelujah. We have to take that power of choice on a continual basis. On a continual basis. Sometimes it's a moment by moment basis, but however much it takes, we have to take that exousia. 1 Samuel 30:7 says, "And David said to Abiathar," that was the priest, Amalek's son, "I pray thee, bring me here the ephod." And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. It was a way for them to discern the mind of God. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, the Lord said, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." This is amazing to me because it seems like that the natural tendency would be, obviously, let's go after our women and children. I don't even know what the contemplation was. If we pursue now, will they kill them in our pursuit? What should we do? But David not only encouraged himself in the Lord, but he sought specific direction. And this is where you have to go to the Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, what is the specific direction of your direction for my life? What are you saying?" And this is where we have to spend time in the presence of God. This is where praying in the Holy Spirit. This is my invitation to those who don't pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to illuminate the path in front of you. by praying in other tongues and then listening to the voice of God. It's so vitally important. But David inquired, and the Lord says, you're going to recover all. And David did recover all. And here's the thing. We will recover all. We will recover all. Whatever is lacking, whatever thing that might be coming against your life or has come against your life, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether it's discouragement, whatever it is, we get it all back. And if I'd have read further, and I think I did have it in Scripture, and David recovered all. It says in verse 30 of 1 Samuel 30:18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Hallelujah. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small or great, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken from them or taken to them. David recovered all. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead and let's just worship the Lord for just a moment, for a few moments. I'm going to ask that we as a church body, that we, some of you come forward and begin to worship the Lord with us. In a sense of the word, to say, Lord, I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to take the initiative to stand on your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given me your word. You'll come as I begin to take the initiative and lift up holy hands and make my stand. You're making a stand for your family. You're taking a stand for yourself. But most importantly, we're taking a stand for an outpouring of revival over this city and over this region. Wherever you're at there watching, you might want to just stand or begin to yield to the Lord as we begin to worship the Lord. Come and stand here with me and let's just begin to worship God. You elders and you people and all the people, let's just begin to magnify him because he's so worthy. He's so worthy, Jesus. You are so worthy. We glorify you. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit with praying in tongues, now's your time. Move forward. Come up here and stand with us and just worship God. Hallelujah. Harry, lead us. It's good to have Robert back.
I could sing these songs.
Thank you, Jesus.
As I often do, that every song must end. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, I prayed for him one time and released the Lord on him, the laying on of hands. And I said, okay, now look up. And he said, I said, what's going on? He said, I should let him testify, but I don't want to put him on the spot. But he said, there is a warmth that is just filling up my whole being. And he says, it's incredible. He couldn't get the words out to lay hands on him again, and he began to speak the words. Speak the language of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands and praise God? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't take these things light. Light, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Have you had a good day?
Yes.
Glory to God. If anybody else needs to be filled, come up and see me after the service. We'll pray for you. Get filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Dayton, I hope you warm up and you don't freeze. Hallelujah. We love you all. We will see you Wednesday night. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. Congratulate our friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.